So message, there it is, and I have it recording now. And brethren, I want to invite your attention to the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 11. It only has 13 chapters, but we're back in 11 today. We're going to read verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. Hebrews 13, brethren, would you please turn there and read along as I read aloud. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's the text of Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. God bless the reading of His Word. God bless the preaching of His Word. God open His Word to you and to me this morning by the person of the Holy Spirit. I won't pray any further, brethren, but you pray as we go along. And I'll pray as I go along. I'll pray silently and that God will bless us. This 11th chapter of Hebrews, brethren, is sometimes called the roll call of the faithful or the hall of faith, like we talk about the hall of fame. It's got famous individuals in it, brethren, who live by faith. And we read this morning, first things that we read, they died in faith. Oh, what a testimony. That'd be a good epitaph, wouldn't it, for your tombstone? He walked by faith. He died in faith. That'd be good. That'd be good. Help me remember that. I'm going to live a long time yet, but when I do die, you're going to put it on there for me. Put it on there. You know I'm being facetious. God bless me, I pray. He's blessed me with a long life already, but take me when He's ready. But in the meantime, brethren, I hope that I'll be living by faith and walking by faith. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, we just read. The word faith is interspersed, isn't it, in these verses. Faith, faith, faith. What is faith? Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition of faith, brethren. And these men and women that are described here, brethren, they had faith. We believe through faith. They believe through faith. They were given a measure of faith. You're given a measure of faith. One of the wonderful thoughts I had when I was preaching to you or preparing, I thought, you and I, brethren, are privileged to have that same faith implanted in us that these heroes of faith, brethren, that we read about, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, all that same faith, brethren, that was given to them is given to you and me. What a blessed privilege. They believe through faith. We believe through faith. By faith, verse 2, the elders, that's those elders we've been reading about, and the saints of old that we don't read about, that still serve God, they obtained a good report by faith. They were faithful. We read, brethren, about Abel and his faith. We read about Enoch. We read about Noah. I won't go into detail any further about their lives. You can read it. You've read it. You've heard it preached. But there it is. That's some of the ones who live by faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out, I think the last time or time before we began studying about Abraham, when he was called to go out, he did what? He obeyed. God said, get up and go. And he got up and went. He went. He obeyed. He obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went, we're told in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. That's Canaan, brethren. That's the geographical area of the Middle East that we call Canaan. And in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And I looked up those promises and I read them to you and gave you those sites where they were heirs of the same promise. God said almost the same words to Isaac and Jacob that he said to Abraham. Last time we read about they looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We talked about that city, which I believe is the same as the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. It's not the eternal heaven. It's heaven on earth right here. Through faith, Sarah. We talked about Sarah. She received strength to conceive when she was past age. It says about Abraham that he was as good as dead. So was Sarah as far as reproductive ability in their bodies. But it says in verse 11, she judged him faithful who had promised. That's God. God had promised that she would have Abraham would have an heir, have a son. And it came to be, brethren. Well, there it is. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Verse 12, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. I think I gave you sites to those verses where it describes those descendants of Abraham and Sarah as the stars of the sky and as the sands of the sea. Now, verse 13, brethren. These all, with the exception of Enoch. Enoch didn't die in faith, did he? Why not? Did he lose his faith? No. God took him. Enoch. He walked with God and he pleased God. And he was not found, for God translated him. But the others, they died. They died in faith. Oh, brethren, they lived by faith and they died in faith. We all die. Every one of us are going to die unless the Lord comes back before. But if he doesn't, brethren, every one of us will taste of death. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to die. But brethren, everybody dies. But it's something different about us. God willing, we die in faith. We hold on to our faith. We live by faith. We die in faith. Looking forward to heaven, the eternal heaven. But Paul the Apostle said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He died in faith, brethren. He lived by faith. He died by faith. Faith that these heroes of faith, brethren, they lived by faith and they died in faith. The faith that their descendants would inherit Canaan. God said, I'm going to give you this land. And they had a sort of an earnest. They had a taste of it. Abraham lived there and he lived in tents, but he didn't actually possess it like the Israelites would generations later. But he had a foretaste of it. Abraham did. Isaac, same thing. Lived in Canaan, but he lived in tabernacles. It was not his home. In fact, this world was not their home. Jacob. We read last week the promise where Jacob went to sleep and he saw the vision of the ladder that reached to heaven. God said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give it to you. They died in faith, believing that, not having received the promises. They didn't receive the fulfillment of those promises. They had the promises, but they didn't receive actually the thing promised. That is the land of Canaan. These patriarchs that we're reading about. They had the promise. The promise was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In you will all the nations be blessed. And that's the promise of the coming Messiah. But they never saw him with their natural eye, brethren, but they saw him through the eye of faith. They never received that promise in that they couldn't touch him, but they could see him by faith. These all died not having received the promises. Another promise, brethren, was that God said, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. You'll sit down with me in the kingdom of heaven, the gospel dispensation. They didn't get to experience that. That's one of the reasons why the things in Hebrews, the word better is used so much, brethren. We've got it better. They could only see them through the eye of faith and couldn't experience them like we can. Not having received the promise, the things promised, but having seen them afar off, brethren, they saw them by the eye of faith. What a picture, brethren. They saw them by the eye of faith. I quoted this to you the other day. I don't think I read it to you, but Abraham, brethren, saw the Messiah by the eye of faith. Let me read you the words of Jesus. He's talking to some Hebrews who would refuse to believe on him that he was the Messiah. And Jesus says this. It's John chapter 8, verse 56. These are the words of Jesus, brethren. All right, we just read this. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Here's what Jesus had to say. Your father Abraham, he's talking to Hebrews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. That verse matches up, doesn't it, with what we just read. Having seen those promises afar off, and they were persuaded of them. They believed them, brethren. They were fully persuaded. When I read that in studying for today, I thought of Paul the Apostle who said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded. I'm satisfied. I believe it. They were persuaded of the promises and embraced them. You know what an embrace is, don't you? An embrace feels good. I love to embrace Jan. I love to embrace my children. I love to embrace my grandchildren. I love to embrace the promises of God. I love to stand upon the promises of God. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. And confessed, the thought changes a little, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These saints of old, brethren, that God had given them a measure of faith and they lived by it and they exercised it, brethren, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let me give you another site now to back to Genesis, where a man says, I'm a pilgrim. I used to sing in somewhat of the bad old days, I used to sing a song called I Am a Pilgrim. We never sang it in church. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. It was on a bluegrass record I had. And I used to sing it at parties. People would get me to sing it. I wasn't acting like I ought to have been, but they loved to hear it. And I like to sing it. It's so funny, isn't it? What a mixture you have in your life. You believe the things of God, but you don't act like it sometimes. But somebody years ago wrote a song called I Am a Pilgrim. I don't even know who sang the thing, but I memorized it back then. Words were good. But listen to this. This is better. This is better right here. Listen. Do you remember that God told Abraham, he said, your people are going to go down into Egypt and they're going to be oppressed down there, but I'm going to bring them out. God told that, I believe, to Abraham, and he did. When God, brethren, says something's going to happen, it comes to pass. The Israelites went down into Egypt and started off good down there. Joseph was there. Their brother, their fellow Israelite, was there. He was the prime minister. He was second in command to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh died, and Joseph died. And the new kings arose, and the Israelites began to be oppressed. And at the end of that time, when God said, I've heard the cry of the people, I've heard enough, it's time to release them now, He released them. After lots of things happened, the plagues came, and they came out. But Joseph, who was found of his father, Jacob came down into Egypt. When Joseph told Pharaoh, he said, I want to go get my daddy, Pharaoh said, go get him. And Joseph brought Jacob down into Egypt. This is before all the oppression. They're coming into the land of Egypt now. There's a famine in all the land. And they come in there. And Joseph introduces his daddy, Jacob, to Pharaoh. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all live by faith. And they would die in faith. Jacob comes into Egypt. And they all confess that they're strangers in the earth and they're pilgrims in the earth. And Pharaoh says to Jacob, how old are you? He's an old man at this point. And I want you to listen to Jacob's response. What we came after, brethren, is the fact that these men and women confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were looking for a country, a heavenly. But when Pharaoh asked Jacob how old he was, listen to what Jacob says. It's Genesis 47, verse 9. Well, let me read 8. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? Listen to this, brethren, verse 9. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my, what's the word? Pilgrimage. I am a pilgrim. The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. He was 130 years old then. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Who were the fathers of Jacob? Isaac. Who was the father of Isaac? Abraham. Abraham, when he was called of God to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, and having seen them, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they, verse 14, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Oh, that's beautiful language right there, brethren. People who say that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth, by saying that, they declare that they're seeking somewhere else. They're seeking a country. They're seeking a country above this world. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I want to live above this world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. I want to live above. They declare plainly that they seek a country. Do you, brethren, does your life say, does your language say, do your actions say that you seek a country? Or too many times, brethren, mine say that I'm a citizen right here with this world. I want the pleasures of this world. I want to enjoy this world. Oh, brethren, those saints of old, brethren, those famous saints of old, they declared plainly that they seek a country. They're seeking something else. Now here's a very important part of the lesson today, brethren, for you and me, I say to you. Verse 15, the writer says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. No man who puts his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. I think I quoted that right. Look forward, brethren. Look up. Look ahead. Don't look back. The writer says, if they, who's the they there? The ones who say, I'm a pilgrim. I'm only passing through. I'm a stranger in this world. It's the saints of old, but it's the saints of now, brethren. It's you and me. If we claim heavenly citizenship, brethren, we declare plainly that we're seeking a country. And here's the thing for you and me, brethren. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they never went back, brethren. Now, Jacob went into the land where Abraham had come out of, but his mom and daddy sent him and said, you're about to be killed over here, son. You go ahead. And he stayed there with his uncle Laban, but he came out. He came out. He came back out, brethren. And he came out, and God blessed him. Because God had said, I'm going to be with you wherever you go, and I'm going to give you this land. That was the night that he saw the vision of the ladder up to heaven. But I'll tell you what, Abraham, brethren, Abraham was so concerned about not going back. Do you remember this? Abraham sent his... He didn't have a son to start with. But when his son came along, when Isaac came along, Abraham said, Isaac needs a wife. And I don't want him to marry a Canaanite, one of these ungodly Canaanites. I want a Hebrew wife for him. So you go back to our kinfolks over there. Go and find a wife for my son Isaac. I'm not going, and he's not going. You go, and you bring her. And the man said, well, what if she won't come? He said, well, it's all right. If she won't come, just let her stay. But that was Rebekah. Remember that? And she came. She came. Abraham was so concerned about not going back, brethren, and falling back into the evil ways that he sent his servant for a wife for his son, Isaac. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, Abraham's family were idol worshipers. And that's why God told him to come out. Come out. And don't go back. Do you remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness? And they got disgusted and tired. And they said, we're going back. It's just rough here. Why don't we go back to Egypt? In their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. Do you remember Lot's wife? You remember what happened to her? She was being brought out. The angels were bringing her out. Her and her family, her husband. I think her daughters, bringing them out. And she went back in her heart. God said, angel said, don't look back. Don't you look back. And she looked back. And it's a sign, brethren, that she was worried about the things of the old world. Her affections were on the things of the old world. What happened to her? Lost her life. Turned into a pillar of salt. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, do you remember week before last, I think I said, we're talking about the call of Abraham, and I said to you, here's your calling. You may wonder what your calling is, and I said, well, here's one for you. Here's one, and it's from 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come out, you that have been called from death into life, come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out of there. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country. In the here and now, brethren, you and I, I hope you desire a better country. I hope your affections are set on things above. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. I want to close with some words about that last verse right there. God hath prepared for them a city. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll return. In Revelation chapter 21, we cited this last Sunday night. I want to tell you what I believe that city is. And I believe that city is in the here and now. I believe it's a city that you and I can enter into. John saw it, and John wrote about it. And Jesus told him, write down what you see. The angel told him, write down what he saw. I, John, saw, this is Revelation 21, verse 2. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. There's the city. new Jerusalem, not the Jerusalem that you can walk around in the Middle East. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. This city, brethren, is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. We talked about this last Sunday night, and I showed you some verses that I said, I believe that's the here and now. It's right now. That's the city, brethren, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were looking for. They were looking for it, but it hadn't come yet. But now it has. And I just read some verses describing that city. And one of you said to me, we didn't go over the whole chapter 21 of Revelation, but one of you said to me that very night, Brother Mike, that whole chapter is talking about that new Jerusalem, that city. And that's the kingdom of heaven in the here and now, brethren. And so we have it better, brethren, than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did in their day. But they saw it. They saw it by faith. But you and I, brethren, can enter into it. You and I can enter into it. And the way you do, you got to be a child of God, but you got to be an obedient child of God. You got to obey. You got to trust and obey. You got to walk with the Lord. You got to obey His commandments. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, one that's above the world, one that comes down from God out of heaven. Do you seek such things, brethren? Do you? Don't answer out loud, and I don't expect you to, but ask yourself that. And I have to ask myself that. Do I declare that I seek a country? Jesus says, seek above all else, first and foremost, the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus says to do it. Seek the kingdom of heaven. Seek it. Seek it early. Seek it before anything else. Seek it above anything else. Don't go back. You've been called out, brethren. Don't go back to the things of the world. Seek things above. Oh God, bless us to seek the kingdom of heaven above all else. Bless us to seek you first. Bless us to know how good we've got it, Lord, that the saints of old had to die in faith, looking forward to it. They saw it all through the eye of faith. We can experience it. Oh Lord, bless us. Bless us to press into it, to seek first the kingdom of God and know that everything that we need will be added unto us. May we put you first in all we do. Oh Lord, thank you for these words. Thank you that you say that you're not ashamed to be our God. And that's because, Lord, we seek you early and we seek you first and we put you above all things. Give us the grace and the will to do that, I pray, day by day. Oh Lord, open your word to us. May we meditate upon it. May we hear it, understand it. Believe it, live by faith, and die in faith. We pray in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. We're going to close with a hymn now, brethren. If you love Jesus, it's because He first loved you. If you want to serve Him with the people here, come forward and make that request known. And be received as the way the gospel authorizes. Brother Kevin.